Did you know Candida yeast overgrowth causes chronic fatigue, digestive issues, lack of focus, poor memory, skin issues, anxiety, depression, and much, much more? There's a free Candida Summit, which is airing July 9th through July 15th, and you will learn all of this, plus how to eliminate it. The link is below to sign up, so why not sign up? It's 100% free, and you will become much healthier by learning this valuable information.
That is, the Democratic Party, if we can even say they're Democrats anymore, is using everything it can to pull Trump down, because Trump has the ability, or the Trump administration has the ability, to really fix these things. And they will use everything. Everything that, I mean, they've used everything. They tried the Russian ploy, it failed. They tried the prostitution thing, it failed. Now they're trying to make Trump look like he's the bad guy. And you know what's interesting is that what Trump is enforcing, the law he's enforcing, was put in place by Clinton and Obama. You know, that, I mean, those were hardcore Democrats, you know, what we're seeing is people lying through their teeth. You know, we've got video after video of things. Hillary said one thing, and the next day she says something else. Obama, one thing, something else. Clinton, one thing. The one thing I admire about Trump is that whatever he says, he does, you know, and we might not like the way he's doing it, but he's pushing it in that direction. And this is a big, big challenge that he and this administration have inherited. And the truth of the matter is, it is a very, very big, big problem, but we're doing something about it for the first time. You know, I tell people that are trying to basically cut their efforts down, why don't you get your butt on a bus or drive your car down to the border and volunteer to help everybody and just see how big of a problem it is. Keep in mind that we have laws in the country and laws have to be obeyed. My grandfather was a legal immigrant. You notice that word? We don't see legal and illegal anymore. It's kind of like when Obama said, you can't say radical Islam anymore. Guess what? It is what it is, you know? You know, it's kind of like when Obama said, Muslims have been a part of this country since it was founded in 17. That's baloney. That wasn't the truth of the matter. But yet, uneducated Americans believe him. Why? It's the president, of course. And so uneducated Americans are just sitting behind their TV, drinking their beer, and believing whatever the media is telling them. And it's like, look, if you want to be so opinionated on this, go to the border and find out for yourself. I've been there. I know what it's like. I've dealt in these situations before. It's not an easy process. If you look at common sense, you got people coming across an open border. You have to detain them. How do you detain them? Well, we have a detention center. Now, it sounds like a really bad name, but you have to detain them because you have to figure out who's smuggling kids in, who's legal, who's not Islamic, you know, like, and who's a criminal, who's not a criminal. It's not an open border situation. I received some intel this week from some former CIA guys that are actually working down the border, and they were laughing at the fact that the media is showing nothing but diapers and clothes that have been left behind, but they're not showing the Qurans, the Hezbollah flag. They're not showing all those things that point to terrorism coming across our border. You know, it's just not Mexicans coming across our border. It's not Guatemalans. It's everybody in the world that goes, oh, look, there's a floodgate. Let's go. And if you look at that, and you look at also the fact that we have an economy, we can't even feed and give jobs to our own people. You have to ask yourself, why are we going to break the back of America right now with another million illegal immigrants? And we can't feed them. We can't house them. People don't think about this. So when I hear people that are, particularly up here in California, that are, if we're going to use the term liberal, going, or the people that are protesting, let them in. It's their right. They're human beings. I just want to look at them and go, okay, all of you people out here protesting, everybody that believes that we should just let people in, raise your hand. Okay. So we get like whoever it is, we get 1,000 people raise their hand. Okay. Here's the law. We're going to give each of you a family of five, and your job is to feed them, to clothe them, to house them in your house, and you're responsible for their kids' education the next 15 years from now, and their medical bills, and their car, and their insurance. And if you don't do that, you don't succeed, you get deported. You know, what if all of a sudden we look at America and go, guess what? We're going to establish the refugee tax. For every person that comes in, we're going to increase the taxes on all Americans, legal Americans here, citizens. How do you feel about it now? You'd hear an entirely different story. So a lot of this push that we're seeing against the Trump administration, it is hypocrisy.
Oh, it's a lot of it is hypocrisy. It's all, you know, my husband used to help back in the, you know, probably 2 decades ago now, people, immigrants that were coming, and they were being separated from their children worse than it is now. And so he just looks at, he gets so disgusted by this because he knows it's just complete hypocrisy. It's lies. It's, you know, anybody who's been involved knows that it's all BS. And, you know, and so it's so hard to listen to the BS and the hypocrisy when they, when they're not actually trying to fix a problem. Now, one thing that is, I think when you talked about children, we have to get back to, you know, our child welfare system, kids are more at risk of being raped or sexually abused, I'm sorry, in the child welfare system. And we're taking these immigrants, pulling them from their family and putting them in the child welfare system. And that's a byproduct of us not having a solution and us not having, you know, when they're sitting there forever and, or they're coming in, we really have some big problems that need to get solved. And if people knew that we had a tight ship, we would get rid of the riffraff and the majority of the problems, and then we would have less that we could sift through, and we could get the people who are truly at risk in their countries or who have work permits and that we really want here.
Sure, we could. And that should have been a long time ago, and those answers were in place a long time ago. With the former administrations, and they chose not to do anything because this situation in its right time allows them leverage, For example, the Democratic Party knew that this should have been cleaned up before, but they held it out. It's like, okay, look, if we lose the election, and this is how they think sometimes, what is it that we can use to basically bend the back of the Republican Party or the president or whoever it is? What do we keep? What do we hold out? What's our ace in the hole? They do it with the economy. They do it with taxes. They do it with everything. It's just a big lie. And so we have a border, an open border, and you're right. If we closed out that border, we wouldn't have as much of this problem. You know, when we separate children at the border, I think people have to understand is we have to make sure that they're there with their real parents. You know, and we don't know that. We don't want to give them to traffickers. And the media isn't seeing that. You know, the Border Patrol is really smart about this. This administration is really smart about this. They're aware of the problems we've had in the past, and they want to make sure that those kids are actually getting there with who they're supposed to be with. Second thing you look at is, and I throw this back at the parents that are coming up, people think that it's unorganized. I would look, the people that are in Guatemala, Honduras, they get briefed on the trip. And one of the things that they know is like, why would you take your child all the way up knowing it's dangerous all the way along the way? If you want to come up here and try to get in and make a little money and send it home, that's a lot safer. But to drag your kid up here, you know, it doesn't make sense. Well, they drag them here because they've been told if you bring your kid, it's like a chit. It will get you in, or they will have sympathy on you, or your chances of getting in, you know, or you can claim asylum. America doesn't understand. We let people into the country under asylum quite frequently if they can show that there's a threat of death. But if you were to look at what took place in Europe when they had the invasion, that whole migration of people out of the Middle East, that was well organized. People aren't stopping to ask, wait, how did they get from Guatemala to Mexico? Who puts them on the bus? Who feeds them? Who's paying for the gas? Who's organizing this? You look at that and you find cartel, you find governments, you find deals done with governments and people in the United States and the Democratic Party. No one's asking that question. You want a good FBI investigation? Find out who in the Democratic Party is talking to people in those countries.
Like, well, and it's so obvious when the timing is right and you see a whole busloads of people climbing the wall and trying to get over.
Yeah.
It's like, why is that suddenly surging? And then the media is right on it, and it's all like orchestrated around a certain time, a political time that's, you know, handy. The media's all organized, and then there's busloads of people there. As if that's not obvious.
No, it's not. I have great compassion. I have spent my life literally risking my life for the welfare of children. And when I was in the CIA, when we were downrange, every country, every village, every city we ever went in, we had great mercy on the people in those conditions. We do not like to see loss of life. I mean, it breaks our hearts. We get that probably better than anybody, probably better than the people that are standing there protesting because they have absolutely no idea why they're protesting. Probably some of them even being paid to go protest, just like the DNC paid all those protesters during the Trump rally. So when I say this, it's not with great love for those people. We have a country and we have laws. Every country in the world, they have a country and they have laws. You can't just walk into their country. You know, you can't just walk into Canada. You can't just walk into Germany. You can't just walk into these places, okay? There's laws, and they understand why we have those laws so that we can protect legal American citizens. It's our sovereign right to do that. We're a nation. We are not. We are the world. And we put those stops and those laws in place because we have to control the flow of legal immigration into our country. So whether you like it or not, it's our law. The people of the United States voted that law into place. We have to follow that law. And to not do that means we're basically paying criminals to commit other crimes. And if we keep doing it that way, everybody else will keep flooding the country and it'll get bad. Ask the people in Texas when they go, I don't get free medical. How come these people who aren't even citizens get free medical in El Paso? So I'm not sure what part of that formula people aren't getting. And we'll suffer for it. We'll really suffer for it. And it's not inhumane. I will tell you what's inhumane. Inhumane is shooting people at the border, like the Soviet Union used to do, or like Czechoslovakia used to do.
Or like Israel's doing with the Palestinians right now.
Exactly. That's inhumane. I think what this administration is doing is a brilliant job of feeding and caring for people and putting them on a bus and saying, you know what, you broke the law, now you have a felony, we got you in the system, but you got to go back to your country. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Countries that, remember when Castro took all of his boat people and dumped them into Miami? You remember? Who did he pull out? Who are all those people? They were all, everybody out of prison, right? They were all his problem children. And they sent them here, and we took them, and you know what? Go down to Miami and see what it's been like over the last 30 years down there and ask people about the crime and all the things that have taken place. You just can't have it happen in your country.
Yeah, you can't take all the riffraff. I mean, I'm sorry, but you can't. Now, we do want to take the hardworking individuals that really help our country prosper. But that's what a lot of the smart countries do. They just take that. Or, you know, a person who's being persecuted, you take those people. But we don't want just anybody coming in.
No, and we have a right to not want anybody to come in. You know, it's people, you know, when I hear people go, let me grease the skids here first. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm full of compassion. I love people. I mean, I'm not hard-nosed on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I do know what's right and what's wrong, and I stand on that. And people also know that I'm not a wishy-washy guy. They might not always agree with me, but they know where they stand with me. It's the way I was born. It's the way I was raised in the Marine Corps. It's, you know, it's the way I am as an American citizen. So when people tell me, I want you to be tolerant of everything, guess what? I don't have to be tolerant of everything. That doesn't make me a bad person. For example, I'm not tolerant of men that rape women. No, well, I don't accept it.
You can't be tolerant of certain things like that. I'm not tolerant of anybody that hurts a child sexually.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. But there are people, particularly here in California, and I've had the discussion with them. It's like, well, wait a minute. That guy has a right. He. It's just the way he thinks. It's just the way he was raised.
He has
it's
no
just,
right. Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
I'm done.
Yeah. And you know,
the child has more of a right to have their life. You just took their life from them.
Exactly.
You have all the rights you want as long as you don't hurt others.
Yeah, you do. And I can be prejudiced. I'll admit it. For example, I'm prejudiced against lazy people that want everybody to do their work for them. Now, generally, when we use that term, people go, well, you mean you're racially discriminating? It's like, no. Look, I grew up in the military. I had Asian friends, black friends. I've grown up in every color. You know what I learned about this? Everybody bleeds the same color. Everybody. And so one of the interesting things here in America, when I hear people go, well, I'm an Irish American, or I'm an African American, or I'm an Asian American, I stop them in their tracks and go, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What is this? When you make a statement like that, you divide yourself automatically. That's like me going, hey, guess what? I'm a lizard monkey. You're a lizard or are you a monkey? And when's the last time you were ever in Asia? Well, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Asian. Okay. When's the last time you were in Africa? Well, I've never been there before. Well, let me take you there, and you tell them that you're African-American, and their tribe is going to say, go back to your country. It's an issue of our sovereignty. It's an issue of we're Americans. And so when we get on this train of diversity, diversity means division. We shouldn't be just celebrating diversity. We should be celebrating unity. Guess what? You're an American. And if you will teach people in our country that that's what you are, you're an American, they won't start seeing that you're black, white, Asian. They'll just see that I'm an American. You're my countryman. You're my brother. And guess what? I get to stand on two of the most powerful documents ever created in history, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. And those two documents will prevent anybody from having rule over you. But we've been led down this road. Everybody's kind of drank the Kool-Aid, and everybody's like, whoa, yeah, well, my heritage. And I guess what? We live in America. You're an American. Be an American, and you will find so much empowerment in that. It will blow your mind. When we learn this in the military. When we go downrange, we've got every color that you can think of. It doesn't matter. Every American, I mean, in the Marine Corps, we are brothers and sisters there. And we quickly learn under fire that guess what? Those diversities don't matter to us. What matters to us is our unity and that we are Americans. And when someone's bleeding out, I don't see the difference in that red on that guy who's black or that guy who's brown or that guy who's yellow. It's all the same. And all I want to do is I want to save them because that's an American and that's my brother and that's my sister. And that's what we need to get back to in America instead of all this diversity crap, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, well, when you're fighting, you don't care what they are. You just want them to be working hard at it.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. You might be mad if they're not, if they're being lazy and you might die, but yeah. I don't care what color you are. It's the same with running a company. I just want good people because I don't want to get yelled at because we just screwed this thing up. I don't care what you are. Just be good.
Be good. Yeah. Just
be
do
good.
Your job.
And yeah. I think my husband, being his Mexican, he gets so angry when people talk about, why do we even have to use the adjective? You know, what's with these adjectives? Just like what you're saying. If you stopped using it, you stopped focusing, we'd all just, we're just Americans. And I have a friend who's black. I'm separating my loved ones out here. And she get mad at me too. She's because I was talking about this one girl who had darker skin on the ice, and I associate her as black. And she goes, "Why do you need to do that?" And I go, "Well, it's like saying somebody's blonde." She goes, she got and lectured me for like a half an hour on how not until we stop pointing that stuff out will we get past all this crap. And they're so right.
Yeah, they are so right and everything. And you know, it is a psychological, well, I was going to say it's a psychological trick bent on really separating us, and it gets used. That's how the mind works. It's a messaging, and I know messaging fairly well because I came out of the CIA, and it's a tool that's used in the CIA on multiple levels.
Yes.
And it can be used for good, and it can be used for bad.
Yep.
In this case, that whole diversity term is definitely being used for bad, and it is separating our country. If I were running for president of the United States or even governor of a state, it'd be one of the first things I'd get rid of right there. It'd be like, you know what? You're just an American. That's why. This is who we are. This is who we're going to be. And if guess what? If you don't want to be that, then maybe you need to go to another country. Go live someplace else, you know?
Well, let's close up with your amazing work that you do with children. Like you said, you haven't had one situation that went wrong. Can you tell us what you do? I mean, have you gone into the worst of the worst, like trafficking, and have you ever gone into like a cult ritual and things like that?
We have we dealt we deal with a probably the full spectrum. We operate, our standard operating procedures are things that we don't stray from, and they're things that we've brought from our CIA days or our special operations days, and we don't deviate. They served us well there. They serve us well now. We don't discuss our tradecraft, how we do things.
Sure, that's fair.
Yeah, we just get it done. And we try to stay under the radar as much as possible. We try to have great relationships with law enforcement. We don't always have great relationships with law enforcement because some law enforcement in some cases know somewhat how powerful we are, and we vet everybody because we have had instances where we had bad people in law enforcement. You know, so we're not going to partner up with them across the board. But generally speaking, we have some really great strategic partners, some really good people out there. I think you mentioned Craig Sawyer earlier. Craig and I know of each other. I've never been downrange with him operating with his trafficking organization. But thus far, everything I've seen, I like where he stands on the issues. You know, what I've seen is he's out there doing it.
Is he under the radar where he's not talking about some of the things he's doing? Or, because one of the problems that he gets accused of is that he hasn't really done anything. He's just taking people's money and doing a documentary. Is he actually out there saving kids and it's just under the radar and people don't know?
Well, most of us operate under the radar and most people don't know. I think Craig is smart enough that and honorable enough that he would, to do something like that, he would know he would eventually get caught. And I don't think it's a road he would go down. If he's shooting a documentary, it takes money to shoot it, to make a documentary, but he probably has a plan of attack and it's for the greater awareness of people. It's not going to be about him. I'm pretty sure it'll be about what they do, and it's to bring awareness of actually how bad it is. I heard Craig on YouTube talk about pedophile rings, about how extensive child trafficking is at higher levels. All of our intel that we've received, which is separate than him, his intel, will corroborate that same stuff. I mean, it's happening. So he's speaking truth. I think recently I saw something where they found a couple of sex camps for kids in Arizona, I believe. Well, there's his team. They're being filmed. They find it. I don't know how much more proof you need, but.
Well, the problem with the Arizona one, there was a bunch of problems with that one. And so I think he was trying to do the right thing, but the Arizona one ended up being, there's a lot of problems with that one.
And controversial.
Yeah, it's very controversial, and I
so
think
I that they're operating with that. And like I said, I know of him. I just know the little bit I've seen of him. You know, he's right on target with what he's spoken about. A lot of times we won't necessarily operate with other strategic partners. For example, we'll operate with CERT, which is Rudy Gonzalez's group. Juan Gonzalez, another guy with the EES, Eagle Eyes, and we'll handpick. These are people that have generated trust over the last 20 some years with us, and we keep it small. One of the challenges that we have now, Sarah, is that there are a lot of NGOs out there that do take a lot of money, they're not necessarily rescue organizations. They may be awareness or restoration organizations, and they're claiming they're doing things, and they're not, and a lot of them are getting caught. We had here in Los Angeles, we had an organization called CAST that just the LA Sheriff's Department let them go because there was some questionable activities as far as how they were handling money, what they were doing, you know, and the use of their money. We have personally been involved in operations where we've had somebody that we needed to get to a facility for security and called literally 30 organizations in the state of California. And none of them can handle what they say they can handle or aren't doing what they're saying they're doing. So across the board, what has happened, the reason I'm telling you this is because it is okay for people to be suspect of where their money goes. But across the board, what's happening is these organizations are getting caught, and they're making other organizations by default look bad or questionable. And so
well, NGOs. NGOs itself are looking bad. I mean, Haiti has 47,000 in that ballpark. I don't know the exact number, NGOs. And a lot of them are bogus and are doing the trafficking themselves behind an organization that should be doing good. And so I think what you're saying about be careful, it's okay to question your money, I think you're absolutely on target there. And that's why I love to have you on, because you're the real deal. I know you are. You've been vetted by many people, personal people I know who have been in the military, says you got to talk to this guy because he's the real deal and people need to see the real deal.
Sure.
And you know, people need hope because they're hearing all this stuff about child sexual abuse and trafficking being the worst. Even President Trump just said this, I think like last week, that trafficking is the worst ever in history. We need to see hope that there's good guys like you going out there making a difference and getting things done. And I think it's so important that people see you and know that your group is doing this, and that they might not know everything you're doing, but they get a glimpse of it, right? If they went to your website, they'd get a glimpse of some of the children you save, but there's a lot more under the scenes.
They do, and with our donors, you know, people donate to specific operations. We don't get a salary or anything, and I've structured it that way. I know it doesn't seem to register with a lot of people, but we work other jobs, and we don't get a salary because I didn't want anybody to ever think that we built an organization on a business model that was exploiting the situation just to make money, because that's what a lot of NGOs do. One day we'll get salaried, but we have an accounting firm, and we put mechanisms in place so that people that do donate, they can go anytime and say, "Oh, wow, I see where that money went." I mean, Sarah, down to the point that we bring receipts out of the field with us, so that anytime the IRS or somebody would want to know, "Oh, I see how this money was spent." And I think the only time that there's not an accountability is like if we have an asset across the border and we end up giving them $500, that asset's just not going to write a receipt for us. It doesn't happen
Well, you're
that
not good. Yeah.
way.
Those things don't happen.
No, they don't happen. But we are, and I'm sure there are other organizations out there, and people are more than welcome to always contact us, because we do a very thorough vetting process of most of the organizations that are out there. We can kind of look behind the wall a little bit, but anybody is welcome to call us and go, "Hey, what do you know about this organization?" We'd be more than happy to say, "Well, this is what we have, you know, and this is what we don't have." We are so busy with the fight against trafficking that we don't really even need sometimes to even figure out who the good people, honest people are, because here's what's going to happen. They are, every one of them, if they're misusing their funds, if they're not doing what they're saying they're doing, they're gonna get ratted out eventually, you know. And we see it happen. We saw it happen here with an organization in San Diego. A bunch of guys claimed to be former SEALs, sadly got hooked up with somebody who made a lot of different claims about stuff, and everybody knows. They know now that they're bogus, you know, and it's shameful.
Well, it
But we
should
don't
be shameful. I mean, it's shameful. Now, I would like to see salaries just so you could devote more of your time, because it's such a huge problem that it would be great if we had people dedicated to it full time. And maybe you are. It's almost like this is full time for free and the other stuff is doing like a
Yeah,
lot of us.
I wish it was full time, and that's our goal, to have sustainable funding one day. And we work on that constantly, but our goal is to eventually have sustainable funding and turn it over to people like really smart money making people, and just say, "Look, tell us, let our money make our money for us, and tell us each week or each month how much money we have to go run operations, and then put people on salary, and this is all we need to do." I spent 10 years of my career in the CIA and special operations, building armies. I mean, that's what we did, you know. Whether it was being a part of building armies, whether it was Jonas Savimbi in Angola, whether it was, you know, the Contras, no matter who it was. So I know how to build an army, and one of my goals has been to take ARC and build it into an army, to the point that the President of the United States, whoever that is at times, says, "Guess what? We're turning this whole child trafficking issue over to you guys, because you guys are doing what needs to be done." And we could do that. We have the bandwidth to do that. We have people in America, we have veterans here in America that would like nothing more than to declare war on human traffickers and spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week doing that, saving children in America. And eventually, hopefully, we'll get that.
And you'd almost have to convince them to sleep, because it'd be such a passion. You know, they just pass out, sleep as much as it.
We do now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm constantly calling my team and going, hey, get off the line, get off the computer, get off this, and go to bed and get 8 hours of sleep. But when we're in the field operating, and a lot of operators know this, we are pretty much 24/7, you know.
Well, you're just going with adrenaline and you're getting it done. Now, do you need more Navy SEAL types, vets? I mean, what do you need? Tell us what you need. Give us a pitch on what your organization needs. People need good places to give their money.
Yeah, well, we have more resumes sitting in our file for people ready to work that are all former special operations. We generally won't take anybody unless they've been downrange. We're not door kickers. We are very surgical and very silent in our extractions of children. Children are already traumatized greatly. So we're not Rambo. We're not trying to, everybody has the capabilities of Rambo, of course, but that's not who we do. So our mind, we're looking for people that have that mindset, that are qualified. And we have those. We literally, we have so many resumes, so many people that know us. What we need is just funding. That's it. We just need funding. And we need large funding. It's interesting is that to be one of the most effective organizations with the track record we've had over these years, somehow financially God has just kept us small. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe that's to keep us pure and clean, to allow us to have 20 some years of knowing how to do it right, so that we wouldn't fall into that quagmire of deceit, like now it's money and all that. And maybe we're at that point now where we're ready to accept that, because we have mechanisms in place, you know, our accountants and oversight and all that, so that one day we'll have that, whatever it is, $100 million, and we'll be doing nothing but putting the fear of God in every trafficker in the United States.
Or I don't see why, with what you're doing, that we couldn't get a couple billionaires, some people, an everyday person to give you money to get you to that level. There's not many more problems in our country than that's bigger than this, because every child that's sexually abused, like you said, it rips their soul out, and now we have the potential of having a troubled adult. And sure, a lot of them can get through it and become, active members of society later, but a lot of them can't. It is so important. And I know I've had a lot of different conversations with different people dealing with children and sexual abuse, and I can't tell you, it's just incredible. I am so thankful that you exist, but I would like to see you, and I'm really glad that you talked about the 20 years of maintaining your integrity, so that if you got bigger, you would be like, okay, we're getting this shit done. We're getting it done.
Yeah.
And watch out, because we're getting it done. And that's the kind of people we need to put our money behind.
Yeah, we're going to always be that way. I think it would take a billionaire that has a heart for this, because this is a real matter of the heart. You know, when you see our guys, myself and all my staff members, pulling money out of their bank account, or close to mortgaging their home because we've realized that if we don't get that kid's going to die. Now you realize these are the people that you want beside you. And I got to tell you something. I cannot say enough good about the people that we have on our teams here at ARC and our strategic partners. Sarah, every operation could cost someone their life. And I have seen good men and women who are willing to literally stay behind and give their life under the worst conditions just so that kid could get home. And you can't ask for any more than that. And I mean, even when I've looked at them and said, go, get out of here, I'll stay. And it's like, we're not leaving. We're here with you all the way to the end. And I've had those conversations with, you know what, you could end up in a jail for the rest of your life and never see your two little boys and your wife again. It's like, you know what? I signed up to be here. I've been blessed to have my kids. this kid needs to get home to their mother or their father. This is what we do. And everyone of them will say this same thing. For such a time as this, we were created. Every one of them. They always throw that back in my face right when I'm trying to get them out. You know, and like our last rescue in Cambodia, things went a little upside down. We were all legal across the board, but there was miscommunication. There was a Russian mob involved. There was satanic stuff involved. There was corrupt police involved. And I'm looking at the team and I'm going, okay, look, I want three of you out of here. And we're sitting there in the hotel room and they're all doing the same thing, pointing their finger in my face and going, you remember what you said? For such a time as this, we were created. And it's like pulling teeth until you finally go, all right, look, you're not going back to States. You're going to go to Thailand. You're going to get the boats ready in case we have to exfil that way. And so there's just these kind of people there. And it's I don't know where they come from. I kind of have an idea, but they've been time tested in the field. So I think it takes that type of billionaire, someone that's got a heart that says, look, I'm not going to go in the field, but I believe in what you guys do. I've seen you guys are transparent. I know that for whatever reason, you guys have been created for such a time as this, and you guys are the guys getting it done. And if that happens for us, I think America will be better, to be honest with you, because this is what we have been called to do.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it.